We've been speaking for several weeks on the topic of Im Mevatlin Isser L'Chachila, right? That we don't actively go ahead and attempt to do Bittul. So we concluded last week with a tshuva from Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoted here on the page, where he says that if you did it, right, so not only is the food prohibited, but the blios of the food is prohibited as well. Meaning the blios, that the stuff that actually went into the pot, so that would be a problem as well. Okay, so I did say last week that we would go on a couple of things that are Lemaisa, Rabbi, some of these are public, I never heard back from them. Rabbi Gersten from the OU has a couple of doctors who I'm not sure what exactly his job is, but he does some kind of research, apparently. So he was kind enough to send me a few articles that I would assume are our official OU policy on this topic. One was entitled Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila, which is the article that for some reason is not opening on my iPad currently. And the other one is the idea of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila. So the idea of Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila, which I don't have in front of me, is based on Iran. There's Iran of course it's in the back of Avodah Zarah, that's where Iran's live. So this one happens to be living in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where it says that, there has to be some kind of limit, there has to be some kind of thing when we do this, because when we do Hagalas Kalim, by definition, you're being Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila. Iran is quoting from the Rashba this question. Right? How does it work? How does Hagalas Kalim work? And he points out that even though you could say today when we do Hagalas Kalim, it's an Eino Ben Yomo, it's already 24 hours, or whatever, but the Torah describes the idea of Hagalas Kalim. Mm-hmm. And the assumption in the Torah is, when the Torah commands Hagalas Kalim by the Kli Midyan, right, is that it's working on a level of Doraisa, that had to have happened that day. So what's going on here, right? With what goes in, what goes out must come in, right? Kabbalo kach polter, kabbalto kach polter, right? So what are you doing? You're taking taste that you assume exists within the walls of the pot, and you're being mevatalit, right? That's mm-hmm. what you're doing. That's what the hagalah is. That's what the process is called. So the Ran explains that you are being mevatel Isser L'Chatchila, but there your purpose is not to be mevatel the Isser. It's a very difficult chiluk. Your purpose is to be metahar the kli. Your purpose is to make the kli kosher. It's not to be mevatel the Isser. You can care less about the Isser. Your purpose is not to get the Isser. What's the classic case of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila? Right. The classic case is that you have a pot of soup and then you take a little drop of milk and you drop a little bit of milk in. So there your purpose is to be mevatel the milk within the soup, even if it's not nosin tavo. However you work that, whatever your reasoning is, right, your purpose is to be mevatalit. Here your purpose isn't to be mevatalit. The way it is to be mevatalit, but your purpose is to get rid of it, right? You have no interest in it being present, as opposed to the drop of milk, where you haven't, the reason you're putting it in theory, is because you have an interest in it being present, okay? So that's sheet number one of the Ran.
So I always thought that the blios were, when you did have Golas Kalim, the blios were coming out.
Right.
But you're saying that it's mevatlin isulchatchila because it's something that's going into the pot and being.
Well, the theory of a mevatlin isulchatchila is that when things are hot, right? Sorry, the theory of Hagalas Kalim is that the way it becomes treif in the first place is that there are pores in the pot opens up and right, things go in and then it becomes cold and it seals up and you have tastes in the walls of the pot. That's the theory. So then how does Hagalas Kalim work? Hagalas Kalim works so that the pores open up, the stuff comes out. Right? Okay, but the same way the pores are open now. So just as the stuff should be going out, the stuff should be coming in.
Back in again.
Right?
The stuff that you took out.
Right.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Right. What are you doing to get it out of there? Right? There's nothing really you can do to get it out of there. So there's stuff that could be going back in.
Yeah.
Right? That's batel. Well, okay, so what are you doing? You're doing something called Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila, right? Or are you being Mevatel Isser L'Chatchila? That's what you're doing. So that's what the Ran based on the Rashba says. That therefore it's permissible under some circumstances. The Badi HaShulchan then quotes from here that so Kal V'chomer by other things, if your purpose was 100% not to be Mevatel, was 100% not even to be Mevatel, but having nothing to do with that, right? But you just wanted to, like the examples we talked about last week with the Taz, right? What was the, right? Where the Taz said that, if your purpose was to follow the directions and how to make a milkshake, Right? So the purpose of how to make the milkshake is that you're causing the bugs that are in the thing in order to be crushed. Well, okay, No, because your purpose is just following the directions. It happens to be that the directions include crushing the bugs. You're not using the strawberries in a milkshake so that you can then be mevatel the bugs, right? That happens to be the directions of what you're doing. So that was item number one on his sheet here, was that you can do hagalas, that there is certainly a concept of there is some kind of concept of aim of a permissible mevatlin is lechachila when it's not for specifically what you're doing, but rather only to be machshir the kalim. So then the second thing that he then quotes is that there's a mission in Shumos. There's an interesting mission in Shumos, which is, you know, like you're learning, like try telling this to a woman, you know, in the days leading up to Pesach, this mission in Shumos. There's a mission in Shumos that says, let's say you have a barrel that's filled with oil. You have a barrel that's filled with, it's Pesach Shumos, so it's Truma oil, right? So you have your bottle, your thing that's filled with Truma oil. So I want to pour it out. I want to pour out all the Truma oil so that I can now go ahead and use that pot or that barrel to hold regular oil, right? That's what I'm doing. So the Mishnah says you can pour out the barrel, and how do you know when all the oil's out? Everything's cold or whatever. So how do you know when all the oil's out? So you pour it out, and the Mishnah says wait for three more drops to come out. Drip, drip, drip. And then that's enough. That's considered sufficient. And then you can put in your chulin oil, and you don't have to worry about the truma. Right? Let me repeat.
Right? So you think you're done, and then you wait three more. Is that what it's
saying? No. It's you stop the full pour, right? When you pour out the So there's oil still in there. What's going on? Sure. Right? So it says, no, that's okay, yeah?
Which you're seeing, because you...
I'm not seeing it.
There's still some left in there.
There's still going to be in there. Okay.
Right, there's going to be... Right, so what's the story with the residue? So the Mishnah seems to be okay with that. Well, how the Mishnah... Why is that okay? So the Mishnah says, well, that's because people aren't concerned with that tiny amount of oil that's left. People would consider... It sounds like people would consider the barrel empty. People would consider the thing empty. People would not be... machped on that. So comes the quotes here... not here. I don't have it in front of me. But he quotes from a Levush. It says, that if it's the standard cleanliness for the tzibur, right? If people assume that is clean, so then you could assume that it's clean for the purposes of mevatelus v'chachila. I mean, you could then go ahead and use that stuff, and you don't have to kosher it. You don't have to go ahead and do those and do more than it. Right, so that is the that is a big kula. Right? So
yes, he's taking something relating to oil, relating to what the oil was supposed to be for, and you're using it now for presumably a very different purpose here.
That
idea
wouldn't work if it was trade for it.
That's what we're saying. We're saying that if it's clean, I mean, the assumption is that it's clean, and now whatever I put in is certainly going to be mevat. Whatever there might be residue left, but it would be mevat. So it's mevatalit. No, it's okay. If it's a little, it's just a little dirty. So what's a little bit dirty? So what is he considered a little bit dirty? So he quotes from a Levush that whatever the industry views as being dirty, right? So he talks about some kind of mills or something where they have different runs of wheat that go through. So the way you clean these mills, the way the industry is, just run a lot of water through it, right? So that water that runs through it would be mevatel whatever's there. And that would be considered sufficient in order to clean it out. He points out that would not work for chadash and yashan runs. Right, if you have a chadash run and then, chadash run and the yashan run, then you want to run a yashan run, after it, that would not work. Any idea why? I think we did cover this concept because the chadash is considered a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Just wait till Pesach and you can eat the whole thing. But to go from one thing to another, so he says it would be okay.
That would apply to Pesach too.
It would apply to Pesach also. Yes. Yes. Right, I'm not sure any of these halachas would apply. Well, there's a whole question of Pesach, I believe we're in Machmer. No, we're not Machmer. The idea of Pesach, whether we'd be Mevatel stuff for Pesach, right? That Pesach, afilu b'mashu l'chametz is going to be a problem, right? So what about if that happened before Pesach, right? You're cooking before Pesach, and the cabinets have fallen. So we do hold the bittel for the purposes of Pesach beforehand, right? That was why do the best Pesach matzahs come from Arizona shear they gave a couple of years ago, right? Because we assume even the matzah itself is probably kosher by way of bittel.
Okay. So what about this concept then?
Yeah, so what about this concept? I don't know. The problem with chadash is that it's right now a problem. Chametz is right now not necessarily a problem. Right now it's kosher.
Okay.
Right.
But I still have a question that I asked before, that it's truma oil, not truma oil. But what about if it was like something free?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you could do it the same way. Which you said, yeah. I mean, that's what Joel's asking you much better than I did. But
with, I don't know, grits in there, whatever.
I don't.
He's saying it's Tom. I'm not sure. Look, I have to look into more. If you actually see, I mean, here you're not cleaning it out and koshering it, etc. But if you actually see that there's oil stuck in the bottom, that I'm not sure the Mishnah permitted. If the Mishnah permitted that, then maybe might have only you look in. You see, all right, looks clean to me. All right, so that might be sufficient. That's the saying, yeah.
Well, then how's that different from seeing or not seeing oil in the bottom? If you see the oil, then it's not. Then you still have oil.
Right? Unless the industry standard is that amount of oil is considered clean.
Right. It has to be mevatel first, also. You know, you can't just take a pot and say. It has to be enough that it would be considered bittel, right? We're assuming that here there's no oil stuck in the wall, so you don't have to worry about that. You're only worrying about the drop of oil that's on the bottom, and it's also being mevatel min b'mino, right? There's no missing time issue either, right? But if you're going to talk about a treif machine, right? So a treif machine that's going to shoot out, switching from pork rinds to potato chips, right? So the first potato chips are all going to be treif, right? It's not working the same way, right? So I don't know. That's not my area of expertise. Okay. So the other thing, the other idea that he quotes here, and this is, I'm a little annoyed about the wrong. This is the Igros Moshe from Mincha. I forgot to bring. It was on my desk. I just took the wrong one. So that's where we get into this, that Rabbi Kiv Eger that we quoted before, regarding the idea that the kalim themselves have to be, are also going to be considered a problem. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says that the next Rabbi Kiva Eger, we did this also last week, v'chein l'mishni spatel b'shvilo, so the next statement Rabbi Kiva Eger says, v'im bitul al hastam, if you're just mevatel it, right, l'misha yirtza liknos, for whoever would eventually want to buy it, harehu kamosha nasa b'shvilam b'yichud v'yasur l'kulam, becomes asur to them. Right, that was the statement. The Shulchan Aruch said that if you're mevatel on behalf of somebody else, it's not good for them. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, so let's say you didn't buy it, you weren't mevatel it for somebody else. You're mevatel it for whoever comes and buys it. Right, I didn't have in mind that this is going to be Shmerel's good bagel. Right, whoever buys this bagel, I want it to be good, so I put in a little bit of chazer in it. Right, so I didn't for him. I bought it for whoever it was. So that's also for me, and it's also for him. So what about if there's a non-Jew that goes ahead and does this? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about margarine, not necessarily about margarine factories, where he says that it would only be a knas on a Yisrael. It's not necessarily a knas on a non-Jew. Meaning a Jew has this iser derabanan, probable iser derabanan, possibly deraisa idea of emavat nesachachila, but doesn't apply to a non-Jew. However, if the Jew goes ahead and asks a non-Jew to do it. Right, so Rav Moshe says that's not allowed. Right, that would be considered as if it's he would be doing it.
So when the OU gives hashkacha on a countrywide country crock, margarine or something. A non-Jewish, I guess, apparently non-Jewish brand. They just don't ask if there's any.
No. They don't. Remember, I got a official policy statement from them was they don't have anything knowingly not kosher in any of their products.
Okay.
So therefore, the implication is they do it.
Right. My question was. I said, is there regarding a case where a company gives a list of ingredients that includes something that's not kosher, but enough that it would be batel? Would you be able to ignore such an ingredient, assuming it would be batel because it is a non-Jew being mevatel?
Uh-huh.
So the response to me was, Rabbi Gross, we would not certify such a product even if the issur is batel. That's
okay.
Blanket statement.
That's what our question was.
Right. The question then is, okay, well, what about these quasi kinds of things that are out there? So Rav Moshe, first of all, he says that if you're giving instructions on how to do it, so that would be a problem. Similarly, that would for sure be a problem. I mean, for me to go ahead and tell a non-Jew, so that's a problem. Why? It says he writes because it's as if he's making mevatel himself. That could just be a code word for amir la'akum, right? Amir la'akum doesn't just apply to Shabbos. It's most famous in Shabbos. Was when else like? What other scenarios could we come up with for amir la'akum? But here would be one, right? There's an isidur abundant mevatel sotachila. I'll tell a non-Jew to do it. So maybe that's that. We call that amir la'akum, right? That's the same question by neutering animals. The language of amir la'akum is used. Right, that I'm not allowed to have someone else do it on my behalf. So the language there is used. So the question whether it's a specific, because it's a specific issue for non-Jews as well, or that, whatever. But that language is used of the idea of Amir La'akum. So it's here, Amir La'akum, so that's not allowed. Right? So then, what about if a, what about if I look at the ingredient list and I see this. What about if I see? Go ahead and see this. If I go ahead and see that, well, there is this issur there, but it's mevatel. Mm-hmm. So Rav Moshe there says mechura ladavar. He says mechura means not nice. We're not going to do things like that. So that seems to be the goan psak. Now there is a question whether one could go ahead and buy it. However, most assume that it's best not to do so. I mean, if I know that can the OU mashkiach who's not putting his certification on it, could he go ahead and say, well, I know that the only reason we're not doing it is because there is an issur that's really batel, but we can't give hashkacha, because Rav Moshe said it would be mechura. But can I at least go buy it for myself because I know the secret? So the answer is no. The answer is you can't go ahead and do that either.
So the Jewish brands for various like Mothers and Rokeach, and then they all
right.
have like kosher like margarine. You can buy Mothers or you can buy regular
right.
non-Jewish margarine. But if the Jew is making it, I don't know, is there any difference whether it's a
I'm not sure a Jew is making any of these companies. Rav Moshe is not saying that all this is a truth that he wrote about margarine 50 years ago. It doesn't mean that that's what the way margarine is made in the year 2000.
No, I'm just asking. No, I understand. But
right.
From a theoretical point of view, if a Jew is making it, I mean, there's some Jewish brands.
Right. Well, most of the Jewish brands are. I made a discovery when I was like in sixth grade and visited the Anderson Pretzel Factory that they had all the brands that use Anderson pretzels, and right up there was Pashkas.
If that's the case for like all of them, like you mean like even Mothers?
No, so I'm not sure. A lot of these Hamish factory, a lot
right.
of these Hamish brands are really just
right.
Not Hamish brands,
jellies,
and they relabel them.
Very, many years ago, I found out about jellies. You know, the Hamish, many Hamish brands of jellies. They
right.
go into whatever Schmuckers or whatever those
right.
places are, and you know.
Right. The same thing with the store brands, right? The store A and P pretzels are probably Anderson pretzels or Snyder's pretzels, whatever. They just put their own label on.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is that
in
the theoretical sense, if the Jewish brand is made by
right, right. But does that make it worse?
Well,
if yes. you know, well, Rosh is pretty much saying at the end of the day, it's not going to be a difference. Meaning, yes, in theory, if a Jew knew that there was a product that was being batel and didn't tell anybody. So yeah, that case is a distinction. Meaning the Jew knows that he's being mevatel, and the non-Jew knows he's being mevatel, and they didn't ask anybody before they went ahead and did it. The Jew's product would be batel, would be treif and the non-Jews would still be kosher. But Rav Moshe says to advise him on that, or even to give a hechsher on that, he says aser, and to give a hechsher on that would be what he calls mechura adaver. Now he does add in, what about if suggesting to them that let's say they have a non-kosher product that you're not giving a hechsher on, but now you want to. But I want to use the same machines to run a kosher product afterwards. Mm-hmm. So can I tell the Jew, if it depends how not kosher it is, right? If it's not so not kosher, right? So in theory, I wouldn't necessarily have to kosher the whole apparatus. Right? Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. So let's say his product is that category where it's batel. It would be an idea of ein vatlan esul chachila, but so I'm not giving a hechsher on that. I just want to tell them, listen, if you put in a little bit less gelatin, so then we wouldn't have to kosher the whole thing in between, and you'd be able to run four times, four more runs over the course of the day. So you're allowed to advise them on that. So he says no as well. So that the quote here, Rav Belsky heard from Rav Moshe that wouldn't be allowed. He says one more din, which is very relevant here, that Rav Akiva Eiger that we quoted, that says you'd have to kasher the kalim. So the idea that you would have to kasher the kalim, what about if it was a Jewish factory and non-Jewish workers? Right. So we're saying you wouldn't necessarily have to kasher, if it really is bittul, you wouldn't have to. What about if it's a Jewish factory? Would I then have to kasher the kalim in between? Would that then be a problem? So so he quotes here, no, that Rav Belsky felt that Rabbi Kiva Eiger in a factory setting would have a limited implication, because the reason the non-Jew is mevatelit is the same thing. It's like the bug heter. It's like the smoothie heter, right? The reason they're being vatel isn't because they want to be mevatel isser into the food. The reason they're being vatel is because that's part of the ingredients. So okay, so that wouldn't be a problem of ein mevatel nisul chachila to the same extent that Rabbi Akiva Eiger's case is being described. Okay, so those are a few practical ramifications. All right. So the next sugya. How are you doing here? The next sugya takes all of this that we just talked about, and seems to throw it a little, well, not necessarily on its head, but at least throws it sideways. If you take a look, Vav, if we skip to Beis Yosef to Vav, how do we do this? This page. Simen Sadi Tes Sif Vav. Go ahead, help you out. Sadi Tes, that's what we've been learning. Sadi Tes Sif Vav. There you go.
This is showing, it's the beginning.
Page Tes Zion. For those of you keeping score at home. In the beginning, yes. The detour in the Beis Yosef.
Okay.
Is that a Rashba?
Right? So, yeah. So the Chas of Arashba, I want to take you down to the bottom of the Beis Yosef, where he says, Chas of Arambam. Right? So, Chas of Arambam, Perek Tesvav, Mehilchos Machalos Asurus, Asa Levatel Yisurim Shal Torah L'chachila. Right? You're not allowed to be Levatel Yisurim Shal Torah L'chachila. Vimbitel Arizim Mutter. V'afal Pikein Kansu, and even if you did it, it would still be Mutter. However, there was a Knas. V'afal Pikein Kansu, Osu Chacham, V'asur Hakol. The Chacham came along and answered everything. About the Isser Shal Divrehem, but if the Isser was only the Rabbanon, Mevatel Nesul L'chachila. You could then go ahead and be Mevatel L'chachila. Whoa. Ketzad, for example, Chalav Shnafel L'kadeira Sheyesh Ba Basar Of. Let's say milk falls into chicken soup. Benasan tam b'kadeira, right? Chicken milk is only the rabban. Benasan tam b'kadeira, and then you put a taste into the kadeira. Marba alav basar of acher achi vatal atam v'chein kol chiyosim. I could then go ahead and add more chicken soup in order to mevatal the milk. Ankan l'shon of the Rambam. Rambam all of a sudden comes up and says all of the discussion that we've had the last 2.5 weeks, that's only by isuri d'oraisa. Mm-hmm. If it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, so then the Isser of Ein Mevatlin Issur L'Chachila doesn't apply. That's the simple pshat. right? Mm-hmm. Where did the Rambam get such a wild idea from? It's a Mefirish Gemara. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, not to turn him in, but so the Gemara v'taymo midamrinan v'reish beitza. The reason is as said in the beginning of beitza, five lines down. Gabi eitzim shenishru min hadekel biyotov. Let's say you had branches that fell off of a tree on yomtov. You had like a hurricane on whatever, and branches all of a sudden fall into your oven, right? So you can marba lehem eitzim muchanim umasikin. So you could put in more. You could put in more branches of your own branches, those that were ready to go in. Umasikin, you could burn them. V'hakamavatel iser lechadchila. But isn't that the Gemara asks? Isn't that a problem of ein mavatlan iser lechadchila? V'tanan ein mavatlan iser. Utanan ein mavatlan iser lechadchila. Isn't that a problem of that? So the Gemara answers: Hani mili b'deraisa b'abudurbanim mavatlan. Right? Yeah, in about the Sevachila, that's by Dini Duraisa. But by Dini Durabanan, you don't have to worry about that bittel. Adkan the Gemara. I shouldn't say Adkan the Gemara. We'll see if that's not true. The Gemara continues. But that's all of a sudden you have this line that comes out in the Gemara that says Eimavat L'Sachafila, that problem doesn't apply to Dini Durabanan, it only applies to Dini Duraisas. So the Hagos Maimonios quotes, just read straight through. Hagos Maimonios is the parish on the bottom of the Rambam, right? The Rambam, Magen Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah, Mishnah L'Melech, all those, right? And on the bottom is the Hagos Maimonios, which is, he quotes Chachmei Ashkenaz. So he quotes the earlier Chachmei Ashkenaz, when they, not all the time, but in theory, when they disagree with the Rambam, so they make it to the page of the Rambam as well. So, V'chein horu Rabinu Simcha, al mechalav, shenafu l'tafshel shel basar, on mechalav. Mechalav is?
Don't remember.
Way.
Oh, that.
W-H-E-Y. Why? Probably that's what it is, and it's not necessarily what it is, but we'll assume it is. So al meichal of shenafla tafshel shel basar v'tziva lehosif mayim. Right, so you have a little bit of whey that falls into the tafshel shel basar. Whey is not necessarily chalav. It's unclear why, but we assume that it's. Well, I shouldn't say it's whatever. Discussion why? I think we skipped it all the way in the beginning of the basar v'chalav shirim. So I think why is this relevant? But the assumption is that would only be in Issur Durabanan, right? V'tziva lahosif mayim ad sheyit batlo, right? And you're commanded to add, or you say to add in water until it's mevatel the mechalav. So the mechalav durabanan, right? So you're allowed to do that because it's only durabanan. However, miyu bepesetz seems to be the same thing. However, perikol shah in Psachim. In Tosos, Perishri, Gabi Kederis for Pesach, the Hadm of Atmel Chachila, that which we say that you can move Atmel Chachila, is the Rabbanon, Hanimili Bedavar She'ein Bo Shoresh Min HaTorah, Kigon Moksa. That when do we say that you can move Atmel Durabanans? Yeah, when it's a pure Durabanon. Like, for example, Moksa. Moksa is a pure Durabanon, right? There's no, like, this kind of looks like a Durarisa, so therefore we're going to aser it, right? So that, what's the case in Beitza, where it says you can mevatel iser, right? That's the talking about case of Moksa, right? You have a piece of a branch that falls off a tree and falls into your thing. That's not close to any Suri Durarisa. That's a pure Durabanon. So when do we say in mevatel, that you can mevatel iser chachila by Durabanons? When it's a pure Durabanon. But it's, if it's a Durabanon that's like a Durarisa, so then, like, it's similar to a Durarisa, so then you got a problem. Then you wouldn't be allowed to do it. And then he goes on, and the Rav Yah says, and yeah, in fact, that's what the Rambam meant. Was the Rambam's quote was, or was the Rambam's example? The Rambam's example was chicken, right? You have chicken soup, and then your milk falls in, I can put in more chicken soup. Why did the Rambam use an example like, I think he gives a, why did he give like an example where the shorish would have been from the Torah? Like, for instance, I thought he gave an example here.
Right.
If you look at this, the Rabbanu Sheish for sure is right. See, why didn't it give it? I don't see an example. But if you would have, what would be an example of?
Beef soup.
Well, no, but that would be an Isser D'oraisa.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you're looking for.
But no. But that
Bafala is not in the Torah either. You're saying because it's similar to. Excuse me, not Bafala. Chicken.
Right.
That's what we're giving here, yeah.
But you're saying because it's similar to basar v'chalav?
No. He's saying that of v'chalav is a pure derabanan din, right?
Okay.
Right? But as opposed to a case that would have shorish min haTorah, so he goes on and says that that's not true, because really basar v'of v'chalav is the same as, is based on basar v'chalav. But,
So it's
even qualifying.
Open v'chalav and it wasn't cooked.
Whatever it is. I mean, muksa. We could definitely see a distinction between a muksa and something that would be a much closer to being a comparable to an issur d'oraisa.
Yeah, I think what we're struggling with is that at least the food issue per se. You know, chicken and meat versus
something. Bottom line,
meal meat.
You can't do it with basar v'chalav. Because it's analogous to, excuse me, of v'chalav. You can't do it with because it's analogous to basar v'chalav. Is that what you're saying? Is that what
He's saying of. No, right. That's the base Yosef argues back and says, "Well, who says maybe of v'chalav is like basar v'chalav?" His example is of an iser that's ikr min haTorah would be yayin nesach or stam yinam, right? So stam yinam is based on the idea of yayin nesach. Right, so yayin nesach would be an iser d'oraisa. Stam yinam is similar to that. So if I would put in, if I would have a percentage of, you know, have regular wine and then some stam yinam would fall in, so then I wouldn't. The Tosos would not permit me to go ahead and be mevatel that lechatchila. Because that's a much more d'oraisa dika d'rabbanan as opposed to muksa, which is a very d'rabbanan dika d'rabbanan. Okay, so that's the chiluk of Tosos. Meaning that everyone gets upset with this the Gemara that says im levat lenis lechatchila doesn't apply to derabanan. Tosos says, yeah, that's by pure derabanan, like by muksa. But most of these, most of the things we're talking about really have their source in Isur d'oraisa. That's the distinction of Tosos. Rashba gives a different distinction. The Rashba on the bottom of the page, the last line of the page here, quotes from the Rashba, and it's in the Torah Sabayis. And we could maybe skip to V'hakam about the Lusachachilah. So let's go to the top of the next page, the second line from the top, where it says Umeshani. In the Beis Yosef, but you're not on the right page. No, go back up there. When do we matter? That's only when the iser falls into the heter, the ein beheter kedei levatlo. And there's not enough in the heter to mevatel it, right? Okay, he the eitzim shenaflu toch hatar. Like for instance, the case of the branches that falls into the oven, aval litol iser derabanan v'liarvu toch heter. But just to take an iser derabanan, throw that into the heter, that would be a kedei levatlo. No, that you wouldn't be allowed to do. That would be prohibited. Hosef al heter kedei levatlo. That would be a problem of adding on to the heter. Even adding on to the het in order to mevatel it. Lo amru ela be isurin she ikron shel divrehem bilvad v'chemosha amarnu. Right, so the Rashi goes and adds on. It seems like he's adding on an additional restriction. Right, and when is it that it's permissible? So not only does it have to be an ikr derabanan type of thing like muksa, but it also has to be right that you're adding the mevatlin iser is taking heter and putting that into the iser. I mean, if you have a full chicken soup, right, and now you have a drop a little bit of milk into it, right, so that would be an iser vein vata. So even though it's only derabanan, even if you want to take the claim that that's a derabanan dika derabanan, right? But to turn around, so what is permissible, right? To take some milk, sorry, to take some chicken soup, and there's a tiny little milk that falls in, mm-hmm. and now I say, oh gosh, I don't know if that milk is mavatil, so then I'd be allowed to take more chicken soup and pour that in, meaning to, right? To take the isr, throw that in, and that's going to be my in, that's going to be mavatil isr kafila, that won't be allowed whether it's deraisa or derabanan. But to take, But if you already have a problem and you're gonna add in some kosher stuff in order to solve the problem, so that's the heter, that's the one dispensation that the Gemara in Beitz is giving.
The problem okay? being that you're not sure if it's bottle.
Right. Even if I'm sure it's not batal, I still would be allowed to do it. It seems according to this Rashba.
How is that different than any batal
issue? No, the paradigm of. If I have a full thing of chicken soup and I want to drop in a little bit of milk,
yeah.
So that the Rashba is saying you can't do.
Oh, to purposely make that mixture.
Right, but if I have a mixture and I want to kosher the mixture, if it's only a din d'rabbanan, then the Rashba seems to be okay.
But if you knew that drop of milk, let's say you didn't, is it only good when you didn't know that drop of milk was in there? But let's say you knew that you were being mavatlan.
No, it seems like you're saying that that's okay. That's
I thought there was a distinction whether you actually knew whether the.
Yeah, that we had, but that's even in the Raisa. That was the Rama that's quoted the Isser Veheter that didn't make it into the real Rama, but only was in the Dark Emosha, right? The idea of Yudias Hataruvis, right? That it only becomes a problem once I recognize that it's a problem. But if I realize at the end that at some point in there was a problem and I was mavatal it anyways without realizing it, right? So that we said that would be okay, or possibly we suggested me that the Ramah doesn't record it, so it's a question whether we would say it.
Also, because this only works with the Rabbanans. Okay.
This is all right, all the Rabbanans.
What do you mean by
not added in the Torah? The Rabbanans that are not
she'in ekru min haTorah, right? Okay.
What do you mean by adding branches? What is this?
That was the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza said that if you have a barbecue and some branches crack off of a tree and fall in.
What do you mean on Yom Tov?
So I can light it I could add in more branches and light it anyway.
This is on Yom Tov?
On Yom Tov, yes. That would only be on Yom Tov. So however, there's one more sheet. If you turn the page, so there's you'll notice a massive drisha. I don't know what that's about. But if you go to the next paragraph of the Beis Yosef, so he says, hold on a second, you didn't finish the Gemara. The Gemara continues on and says, I said, quotes from my, the Rush, that feels the Rabbanon, also the host. The Rush says, you can't even add on to the Rabbanon's. What about the Gemara? Seems to be against the Gemara. No, you got to read the next line of the Gemara. King Kasev v'parakav debatesiv. King Kasev goes Mordechai v'parakol habaser. V'nirash etaimam. Why midarmin hasam baser deshani hani mili b'derais v'al deron mavatlin. Right after it gives that distinction, the Gemara then says ul Ravashi. And what about according to Ravashi, the Amar Kol Darash Yesh L'matir Nafil b'derabanan lo batel. But Ravashi holds that's not allowed. Right, that even by Nisa Derabbanan we hold a Mevatel Nisa L'Chadchila. So Ma'ikel Amemer, how will you explain it? And the Gemara responds by saying, "Mishani Hanimili Heitzah the Isa LeIsura Be'ein." Yeah, that's where the Isra will stay existent. But Hacha, but in our case, again, our case being the case of the twigs, right? Mikla Kali Isura, the Isra will be totally will be gone, will be destroyed. Right, and that's what the Rabbanan says. So the Gemara and concludes by saying, so at the end of the Gemara, that's really the way we paskin. That's what we get out from the Gemara. We don't the distinction is the rise of the Rabbanan. Yeah, that's a nice distinction, but we don't paskin like that distinction. We paskin like the next line of the Gemara, and the next line of the Gemara explains why is it that those twigs are going to be okay. The reason the twigs are going to be okay is because the twigs get completely demolished. The twigs won't exist anymore.
Because they get burned.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so by the time they're burned, you've already. I mean. But it's like saying if I eat the food, it'll be completely demolished.
Right.
But I've already eaten it.
Does that also apply to the milk?
Because it's buttle, it's non-existent anymore? Yeah. I mean, is that what it sounds like?
No. So we're saying that, no, it really is. We're saying...
The milk is still existent.
Right, exactly. He's saying it is existent. He says that case is a total exception. That's the case that would be mother, and therefore it really has no relevance at all to Basa v'chalav. So we're sure that it's not even quoted in that this Rush doesn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. So let's look into Shulchan Aruch. Let's see how it quotes this then. We'll call it night. The Shulchan Aruch Sadi Tes Sifvav.
Before you go there, so that then takes the whole derisa, the Rabbanan argument
right.
Completely throws it away. Not for this.
Right.
Next,
Rush is pretty much for Vatel.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So
where are we going?
So Shulchan Aruch of course says Isser Shel Divrayim. Let's say it's only Isser de Rabbanan. So Ema Arvanos So Viadai. You shouldn't mix it in. Kedei Levatlo. Vim Asa Came Bemezid Aser. And if you did it Bemezid, it would actually be Aser. I mean, for me to take a drop of milk and put it into the chicken soup, that would be a problem. Aval Im Nafal Miatzmo. If it falls by itself, the Ema Behetir Kedei Levatlo. Right. And there's nothing in the Heter in order to Levatlo it. Mar Belav Levatlo. Right. There wasn't enough chicken soup to Levatlo the milk. I could add in more chicken soup in order to Levatlo the milk. Okay. So that's the Rashba. Right. That's the Mechaber quote straight out from the Rashba. Right. The Yesh Omrim says the Ramah, the Ein Levatel Isidurabanan, Ola Hosef Allah, that you can't be Levatel Isidurabanan or add onto it at all. Kimo, the Isidurraisa, and it's going to end up having the same din as the Isidurraisa, the Chinoa, give the Ein Lashanos, right? It puts his stamp on and says, don't mess, right? Okay, and that the rest of the Ramah is really a different an idea of Choser and Neir, which I guess well is really a different sugya.
So that would be even with the trees and the branches.
Yeah. So no, the trees and the branches on that's a Hilchus Yativ din. So somehow within Hilchus Muksa he would say that's okay. You gotta right. But it's the relevance of that. So right. So how does that work? I mean, I didn't think about it conceptually. What's the difference? Right, on one hand,
you said it gets destroyed, but I don't know. See how that
right, that there is going to get totally destroyed, as opposed to here, where it's being. But it's also going to be totally. But there, it's getting destroyed with the hana that I'm getting from
right,
it.
Right, that's what.
As opposed to here, it's getting destroyed also with the hana I'm getting from it. Right, so how do you understand that? That's the question. How do you understand that? Gemara and Beitza. How do we conceptualize that distinction?
It's clearly thinking that this concept of destruction is different from one thing to another, it's just not the same. You know, what's left of the milk or whatever is there's still something there that wasn't with.